with me turning on my mic. All right. Now we begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dearly beloved, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord lifts up the humble. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He heals the brokenhearted. He determines the number of the stars.
He gives to all of them their days.
Great is our Lord and abundant in power. Glory be to the Father and to the Son
and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning,
is now, and will be
forever. The Lord lifts up the humble. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, you exalted your Son to the place of all honor and authority. Enlighten our minds by your Holy Spirit, that confessing Jesus as Lord, we may be led into all truth through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The first reading for this morning, the 17th Sunday after Pentecost, is taken from Ezekiel, beginning with chapter 18. The word of the Lord came to me. What do you mean by repeating this proverb concerning the land of Israel? The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. As I live, declares the Lord God, this proverb shall no more be used by you in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the Father as well as the soul of the Son is mine. The soul who sins shall die. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not just. Hear now, O house of Israel, is my way not just? Is it not your ways that are not just? When a righteous person turns away from his righteousness and does injustice, he shall die for it. For the injustice that he has done, he shall die. Again, when a wicked person turns away from the wickedness he has committed and does what is just and right, he shall save his life. Because he considered and turned away from all the transgressions that he had committed, he shall surely live, he shall not die. Yet the house of Israel says, the way of the Lord is not just. O house of Israel, are my ways not just? Is it not your ways that are not just? Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, every one according to his ways, declares the Lord God. Repent and turn from all your transgressions, lest iniquity be your ruin. Cast away from you all the transgressions that you have committed, and make yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the Lord God. So turn and live. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
He will command his angels concerning you. Bless the Lord, O my soul. The epistle reading for this morning is taken from Paul's letter to the Philippians, beginning with chapter 2. If there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Do all things without grumbling or questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 21st chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
When Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came up to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?" Jesus answered them, "I also will ask you one question, and if you tell me the answer, then I also will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, from where did it come? From heaven or from man?" And they discussed it among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say from man, we are afraid of the crowd, for they all held that John was a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." This is the Gospel of our Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Let us join together in confessing our most holy faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Justice or no peace? We hear that a lot today. Every day you turn on the news, you hear the crowd shouting, justice, no peace, among other things. Everybody wants justice. Everybody should be able to get behind wanting justice. We want justice. If we're wronged, we want justice. If we see someone that's wrong, someone perhaps that's brutally killed or something else like that, we want justice. What civilized nation wouldn't want justice? What individual doesn't want justice? Justice. Be careful what you ask for. The people of Israel complained to God. They wanted justice. They felt they were being unjustly judged by God. They were going to have to go into exile because of things their fathers did. That's how they saw it. And so there was a proverb they would talk about eating sour grapes and setting the children's teeth on edge. It's kind of like saying the fathers ate sour grapes and the children went, ugh. You know the taste that's left in your mouth after you eat sour grapes? Well, it's not right that those sitting around you should taste the same thing you're tasting. They didn't take hold of that sour grape and bite into it after all. Justice. God is not being fair. God is not being just. We even hear that too from people. Sometimes we hear it from other Christians. God's not being fair. If God were fair, if God were just, He wouldn't let these things happen in the world. Hurricanes and tornadoes and earthquakes and fires and forest fires and you name it. What kind of just God lets that happen? What kind of God blames us for sins that others commit? That's Israel's complaint. Yet God says, is not your life in my hands? Your father and your son's life both belong to me. In other words, you've got it backwards here. I'm not the one that's being unjust. Is it not you, O house of Israel, that is being unjust? Justice or no peace. People want peace, but sometimes they don't act like they want peace at all. They do violent things and they say it's okay, it's right, and it's justified. That's what people are saying in the streets. Their violence, their hatred, it's justified and therefore they are just. And anyone that opposes them are the ones who are unjust. How wicked a thing that is. Truly wicked. Calling that which is good evil and that which is evil good. There is nothing more higher in the sense of twistedness and evil than even thinking that way. It truly shows where the heart of human beings lies. Does it lie with God who is just? Or does it lie among humans who are unjust? justice. The people of Israel wanted justice. People all the time want justice. But then we need to be honest. And we need to look at the world the way it is. You see, we live in a fallen world where there are earthquakes and there are fires and forest fires. There are hurricanes and tornadoes, and there are wars and conflicts of every kind in the world. That's the world you and I have been born into. And our fathers and our mothers were born into it, and our grandparents and our great-great-grandparents. I left out the great-grandparents, but I didn't mean to pass them up like somehow it skipped a generation. No, we have all been born into the same kind of world, a fallen world, a world that one day will come to an end. Everything one day will stop. It doesn't matter how many generations try to come up with a utopia or believe that it's in the grasp of mankind to do so. Because every generation of mankind will tell you it is not possible. Fruit that is grown from a bad tree will always be bad fruit. It cannot change the outcome. The only thing that can change that kind of outcome is for one to come and intervene. You see, that's the way our world is. It is fallen, it is corrupt. And those who are born into this world are also corrupt from the very beginning. We can't even say, God, why do you blame us for what Adam and Eve did? He doesn't blame us. It's just our condition. It's not God's fault, even though at times we want to point fingers at God and say, it's your fault, God. We want to blame God, but so did Adam and so did Eve. They blamed each other and then they blamed the serpent and finally they blamed God, because after all, God put all that stuff in the garden. And if he hadn't have done that, they wouldn't have rebelled. But the truth is they did. And because they did, their offspring are born bad, not good. They are born wicked, not righteous. They are born dead, not alive. We come into this world with a bounty on our head. And it says, wanted, dead, not or. Dead. You are guilty. You are guilty, and so am I. And nothing I do or you do can change that at all. That's how the world is. I'm being honest to you. I'm being truthful. It is the wages of sin. Death is the wages of sin, St. Paul tells us. And all people die. What's the conclusion? All people sin. It's not like we're born into a world with the ability to do good or bad. No, we are born into the world only with the ability to do wrong, to do sin. Because it's in us to do so, because it's passed down to every one of us. We call it original sin. No one is born without it. And we are helpless to change it. We are. But God enters the picture, doesn't He? God comes to Adam and Eve. They don't go to Him. He has to come to them. Why? Because of sin. They can no longer see God as a merciful God or a God of love. They only remember one thing God said to them. The day you take of that fruit, the day you eat of it, you will die. And they did. Oh, they still were animated, but they were truthfully dead. Their hearts were dead to God. They didn't know their Creator any longer. Before, they used to be able to walk with God in the garden. Must have been some really cool conversations, I would think. But no longer. God comes to them, and He takes care of them, because God is merciful. And as God told His people, Israel, I don't want any of you to die. See, that's the heart of God. I don't want you to die. He could even add to that, I didn't create you to wind up this way and to die. I want you to live. So He calls to His people, and He called to Adam and Eve, repent. Turn back to Me, and you will live. And you will live. Jesus comes to His own. And He comes this week. We heard it in the gospel lesson today. This is Jesus' final week before the crucifixion. He comes into Israel with jubilance. People are happy. They are shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. He goes and does things. People have heard Him declare the kingdom of God is near. They have witnessed Him heal the sick, open the eyes of the blind, and raise the dead. And then Jesus does the unforgivable. He goes into the temple and He upsets the order of things. He overturns the tables of the money changers. This is big money to the temple. This is big money, and the Pharisees are upset about it. And then He goes off, but He comes back again. And He's there in the temple teaching. And the Pharisees come to Him. Because He's not only just teaching about God. No, He's teaching as one who has authority. And everything He has done has shown that He has authority. And so the Pharisees, they decide, okay, this is enough. He's now interfering in our livelihood. See, it always comes back down to that, doesn't it? Finances, money, survival, living. And we think we got to do it without God. So the Pharisees say, well, what authority do you have to do the things you have been doing? After all, the Pharisees saw themselves as the ones in authority, right? We certainly didn't give it to you, Jesus. So by what authority are you doing these things? I'll answer your question if you answer mine. By what authority did John come preaching? Shrewd politicians that they are. Politicians don't change, they just learn from one another. If we say it is from heaven, comes down to why aren't we believing if we were to say that, and of course we're not going to say that. But if we say from man or not heaven, then the people will be upset because they believe John to be a prophet. See, looking for themselves, so they come up with a clever answer. We don't know. You don't know? Well, I'm not going to answer your question then. And in so doing, he indeed does answer the question. They already know the answer. At least they should. They are, after all, the teachers of God's Word. They're the ones that should be talking about the mercy of God and looking for a merciful Messiah, not one who comes to bring war. Not one that comes to overturn the status quo. But he does come, gentle and mild. He comes to his own as one who does indeed have authority, and he has been showing it all the past 3 years before he gets into Jerusalem this last week. He has proclaimed the kingdom of God. He has healed the sick, opened the eyes of the blind, healed the crippled, raised the dead. And he has done this because he is the Son of God. The authority that they are looking for is not the kind of authority that Jesus brings into the world. He brings into the world that which the world has been looking for. Justice and peace. Justice and peace. Who doesn't want it? But it doesn't come the way the world is expecting it. It doesn't come the way of the world, but it comes according to God and His way, not our way. It's not in our thinking that God should die, but it's in God's mind that He must in order to rescue us from a corrupt world that we have no power to do on our own. He must intervene. He must do it alone. He demonstrates himself being the one who can do it. He does it by capitulating to those in authority. He surrenders to those willingly in order that he can go to a cross. Where is his authority? It is there on that cross. Nails going into his hands, which should be in our hands. Into his feet, which should be our feet. Scourged for us, which should have been our scourging. Crown of thorns, which should have been our crown of thorns. Because that's the only crown the world can come up with. Not a crown fit a true king. One that is glorious in appearance and gentle on one's brow. That's the kind of crown that belonged on Jesus' head, but that's just a man kind of thing, isn't it? But the crowns we make in our lives are filled with thorns. And we push it down on our heads and we say, look at me, I am my own person. And I control my universe. Yeah, right. Sure, you do. But Jesus comes and takes all of that on himself. And on that cross is the forgiveness that is poured out on the world through the wrath of God being poured out on His Son and not us. We needed rescue. We needed salvation. We needed justice. And God brings it to us through His Son. Oh, He could have taken any one of us, but it would not have done any good for any other human being. it would not have done anything to bring about true justice. But this is true justice that takes place, because it's God ordained. It's God's will. And God is the one who has the lives of every human being as His own. And He can do with that life as He chooses. And He chooses salvation through His Son. He is our rescuer. He is our salvation. He is our lifeboat. He is that rope that's thrown over the cliff to pull us up. Whatever analogy you wish, He is that. He is the one. And all authority has been given to Him. All authority. And He told His disciples that before He sent them out into the world. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples, baptizing and teaching. Because salvation is for the world. It is the only way. So let us be honest. We never had a choice to do good. We were sinking. We were floundering. We were without hope. But God comes to us and He rescues us and saves us. And He says to the world today, just as He said to the house of Israel, why will you die? I don't want you to die. That's the heart of God right there. I don't want you to die. In fact, God could say, I've died for you so that you can live. Repent. That is, turn to God. Reject the idea that somehow evil has now become good, and good is now somehow evil. No, look to the Word of God. Look to the One who alone is pure and righteous and good, and that is our Lord Jesus, the Son of God, who is pure and holy and righteous. For He desires us to see that beauty and to live in that glory. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. people chosen by your grace to be your own possession, and granted mercy upon mercy. Hear your people who cry to you in need, and remember us according to the favor you have shown to us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Make us to know your ways, O Lord, that we may walk in the path of salvation made known in your word. Hear our complaints and quiet them by your merciful deliverance, that we may respond with trust and thanksgiving. Lord, in your mercy, encourage us, O Lord, by your Holy Spirit, that we may not lose heart, but being of one mind and one will, may serve you with gladness, doing the works of your kingdom and speaking your word of witness throughout the world. Lord, in your mercy, help us, O Lord, to hold fast to your word, and bless us with faithful pastors who will preach and teach your eternal gospel, that we may rejoice in doing your will. Guide those considering church work vocations and bless them as they are formed for your service. Lord, in your mercy, shine your light upon us, O Lord, that we may do what is good and right and live as faithful citizens in our nation. Bless Donald, our president, Greg, our governor, and all those elected and appointed to make, administer, and judge our laws. Lord, in your mercy, enlighten us with godly knowledge and wisdom, O Lord, and bless those who pursue science to improve our lives and the lives of those in greatest need. Bless all honorable vocations and all honest labor, and lead the unemployed to good jobs and noble work, not only for their own interests, but for the good of us all. Lord, in your mercy, show us your compassion, O Lord, and in your mercy grant healing, comfort, and peace to all those who suffer. Deliver them from all their afflictions, pain, sorrow, and fear. We especially pray for Pastor Scott and Judy Stallings, Robert Galabias, Jan Johnson, Linda and Leroy Fangmeyer, Pastor Mark Seeger, Nelson Meyer, Gloria Havman, Sue Daniels, Jeff McIntyre, Pat Bias, and Rustin Ray, and all those whom we now name in our hearts before you. Lord, in your mercy, guide us, O Lord, that with all our hearts, minds, bodies, and resources, we may serve you. Give special blessing to the Lutheran Women's Missionary League and to the many ways they bring the good news of your salvation and the works of your love across our nation and world. Lord, in your mercy, unite us, O Lord, that we may be of one mind and one will in doctrine, witness, and service. Bless us as we come at your bidding to we pray for those, Lord, who are receiving the body and blood of your Son at his table. Grant that what they receive in this Holy Communion and what we also receive through your word, we may keep in holy hearts and holy lives. Lord, in your mercy, help us, O Lord, to remember the faithful who loved and served you and who now rest from their labors. Bring us with them to the most blessed day when together we shall dwell in your presence on high forevermore. Lord, in your mercy, grant to us all good things needful for this body and life and profitable for our salvation, and keep from us all things harmful that sustained in time and want and guarded in time of prosperity, we may endure to the day of our Lord's coming and be judged worthy of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forevermore. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Morning.
Good morning.
We're going to take a brief break and then we'll continue our service with the class in Sunday school. We want to wish a happy birthday this week to Nicole Brokamp on October 2nd and Dan Ray's brother John Ruther on October 2nd. Wish a happy anniversary to AJ and Melissa Collier.
Yes. Just wanted to give a report on little Rustin Ray. He's been on a CPAP, evidently. They thought that he aspirated when he went through the birth canal, and that's what caused his breathing problems. But they've had him on a CPAP, and they're hoping to take it off today. So, I mean, as soon as I found out, I called Peggy, and she put it on the prayer chain. And about the time it would have gone out, we started hearing news that he was breathing better.
Mm-hmm.
Our nephews and our little grandnephew, little Rustin Ray Davis, who was born
Friday.
Anyway, but he's had some breathing difficulties, and they think that it's because of what happened when he was going through birth canal. But anyway, he's breathing a little better, and his mom is anxious to get him home. But he's telling her he needs to stay for just a little bit to make sure he's okay. So. But thank you for your prayers, because they sure are powerful. I mean, it was uplifting, because about the time everything went out, you could feel the prayers, and we started getting positive support. So, thank you.
He's
at Texas Children's in the Woodlands. Yeah, they live in Huntsville, and they lifelighted him. He was born at 10:15 at night, and the next morning, they lifelighted him to the Woodlands, Texas Children. So, something happened in 12 hours. Yeah, it's very awesome.
Okay, if there's no more announcements, let's conclude with him.
You're fine.
Mark,
you want to tell them about the Alleluias?
Yes. The three verses, page 712 in your hymnal, we'll sing the three verses. We're going to add a short Alleluia chorus between the verses. And I'll start it with the chorus as an intro. And then everybody please join in. That's page 712 in your hymnal.
And also remember there's a bucket in the narthex on the table for a free will offering. For anyone who wants to help with those who are in need of help in the Southern District from the hurricanes. I think that's it. Oh, LW Mail Sunday is next Sunday.
Right, thank you.
So, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. place. And
it was not
well, I think he might be in intensive care now, but it was still nursing at one point. So.
Okay.
Hallelujah.